You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, September 22nd, 2025. Grand Val Dam streaming with you at RadioAlbion.com. It's Monday, and you know what that means. It's time for the Daily Mail Monday edition of the Daily Nationalist. And we're going to go ahead and just roll right with it. We look at some stories from the Daily Mail that I thought were worth discussing. Some of them kind of always from a humorous point of view. Can't help but to do that when we're talking about the Daily Mail. Some of them might be interesting, but I thought they were worth discussing. As always, I skip any royal family stuff or celebrity gossip because I don't give a shit about that. And I really honestly don't do that much about politics on this because I find that just about as tedious as hearing about Meghan Markle. But we do have something somewhat politically aligned for our first story here. But I chose this story because this involves science and the experts, the science. So much stuff, you know, everybody talks about everything in clown world is fake and gay, and there's so much truth to that, and the science is definitely one of those things. We'll get into it. Our first story here, the headline is, row breaks out between international scientists and U.S. health chiefs after they link paracetamol to autism. Health experts have today hit back at dangerous claims that paracetamol raises the risk of autism after President Trump said he had found an answer to the condition. For those of you who don't know, because I didn't, paracetamol is what we've always heard of in my timeline as acetaminophen. In other words, it's Tylenol. Now, you might have been expecting, what with Bobby Kennedy Jr. being put in there and all of this stuff, you might have thought we were going to hear about vaccines, but no. We're going to hear about Tylenol. Was anybody expecting that? I find it funny that all of these different things, and I'm going to try to get to another story, and I think I will, about how regular people are doing a better job than the so-called experts. And we'll get to that. But so many people are pointing to, and they try to act like it's just a few kooks. Another way of disqualify, as you know, they use that tactic. But the vaccine thing is pointed out, and the reason people point to it is because, quite honestly, it's freaking obvious. Now, if you're older like I am, when I was in school, I'd never heard of autism. And I'm not saying it didn't exist, but we really didn't ever hear about it. If you're my age, you went to school, you don't know anybody who is quote-unquote autistic. There's a direct line, like I believe it was around the early 90s, I'm doing it off the top of my head. And I'm not pretending to be an expert like these people are. And again, it will get funny as we get into it. But in the early 90s, they jacked up the vaccine schedule because, you know, we got to keep the stock price up for big pharma. And they jacked up the vaccine schedule, give these babies more and more vaccines so they can get more and more profits. Like everything in the business model in America is this, like, you have to have this much growth, this much increase of profits every year. It's insane because common sense tells you you can't have indefinite growth of anything. In a normal, functioning, healthy business, you are at some point going to hit a plateau in your market. You can only build so many railroads. You can only produce so many products that people want. And you're going to hit a plateau and then it probably drop a little bit and then even out. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you're turning a decent profit every single year and you're selling a predictable amount, your company has this much value. What's wrong with that? Instead, we have this model that you have to have eternal growth, increase of profits everywhere. And as a result of this, you get what a lot of people refer to as the corporate shitification of everything. like, for instance, I recently, my dishwasher quit. And the thing is barely, just old enough to be out of warranty. You know, just nothing lasts. Why? Because everything is made cheaper, 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 and gets more and more expensive. The corporate shitification of everything. We also have this dynamic now to where it's not about how much, you know, a company actually produces and how many people want the product. The stock price itself is the goal. Not what they sell, not what they produce, not what kind of product or quality or any of that. It's what's the stock price doing? Anyway, they jacked up the this vaccine schedule for no other reason. You know, I mean, they gave all kinds of reasons, but it's bullshit. So they could keep the stock prices up. If you're in Europe, I have read in several places, the European vaccine schedule is nothing like the American one is insane. They get this ungodly amount. Like if you have a baby today and you know, you're in the hospital, the mother's giving birth, she's in the hospital. Before she leaves, they put all this pressure to just give this ungodly, I think it's like 50 or something. It's this ridiculous amount of vaccines to this newborn infant. And there are many honest doctors who will tell you that's crazy. These babies are not ready for that. They're at their most vulnerable stage. They've just been born. And we gotta keep pharma's profits up. And they pump them full of these vaccines. This is why people link vaccines to autism. Because they increase the vaccine schedule and the autism rates go up. Before that, we really didn't even know what autism was. Anyway, let's get back to the story. Paracetamol, known as acetaminophen and often sold under the brand name Tylenol in the U.S., is widely used by expectant mothers to treat pain, headaches, and fever. Dozens of studies have already linked it to higher rates of autism and attention deficit hyperactive disorder. However, the findings have not been consistent. Well, if there's one thing we know about the science and their findings, it's that they're inconsistent. There's a y'all are probably aware of it. There was a study done here a while back, and it turned out that all of this quote-unquote peer-reviewed stuff that gets published, like the vast majority of it, cannot be replicated. In other words, if you go and try to, you read this and you say, let's verify it, and you attempt to replicate the experiment with the conditions they did to see if you get the same results, which is what real science is, you can't do it. So in other words, that's a real fancy roundabout way of saying, it's bullshit, my friends. It's bullshit. You can't. It's not science. It's a theory. And they just put it out. They manipulate the research. And for some reason in this field, nobody gets called out for it. They don't get kicked out. They don't say you're no longer a science. You just get more funding and keep doing it. Now, the reason I picked this story is because, again, the headline says international scientists, we got all of this appeal to authority, which is always a dead giveaway. That they're BSing you. Medical experts. Let's get back to the story because we got to go listen to the experts. You know, we can't listen to randos on the internet or anything like that. We want to trust the experts, right? I'm not even disparaging the idea. I want to hear what experts have to say. You know, if I'm going to get, you know, If you have a problem with, I don't know, your air conditioner or something, you want to go to an air conditioning expert. Not, you know, you don't go to the lawnmower mechanic to fix the air conditioning in your house. You go to an expert. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with consulting with the experts. And of course, this is what the Daily Mail is all about. Medical experts from across the globe have now insisted there is no proven link between the drug and neurodevelopment disorder, arguing the announcement is merely, quote, fear-mongering and risks stigmatizing families. These are appeals to emotion, by the way, in case you didn't notice. Fear-mongering and risk-say. There's nothing actually, you know, rebuking this or saying otherwise. These are appeals to emotion. Another dead giveaway. So you have appeal to authority, and now you have these emotional appeals. There's nothing here. I'm not saying that Tylenol contributes to autism. I personally think that's bullshit. And personally, I don't even take Tylenol. I take regular old ibuprofen, you know, or as I call it, super aspirin. Just take aspirin. It makes me think Tylenol, I'm getting off topic here, but, you know, Tylenol is like when they try to convince everybody that margarine was much better for you than butter. It's like Tylenol is much better for you than aspirin. Just take aspirin. Jeez. But let's listen to what the experts are. No, more importantly, who are these experts? Because now we're going to hear from these experts, the scientists the Daily Mail has consulted. Dr. Monique Botha. Well, this is already, we're already off to a good start just by the name. Okay, so let's hear what Dr. Monique Botha has to say. And let's, more importantly, let's see why she's an expert on autism and the in any possible link to autism and Tylenol. Who is Dr. Monique Botha? Well, Dr. Monique Botha is an associate professor in social and developmental psychology. Wait a minute. Psychology? I would think if we were getting experts, it would be experts in, I don't know, medical research, you know, and in into some of these drugs. But no, we get a psychology person. There is no robust evidence or convincing studies to suggest there is any causal relationship, and any conclusions being drawn to the contrary are often motivated, under-evidenced, and unsupported by the most robust methods to answering this question. Yes, Ms. Psychologist person, I recognize what you're psychologically trying to do. You're making a bunch of bold, you know, assertions here, and I don't see you backing anything up here. Let's look for some more experts, because they don't just, this is the Daily Mail. Their next expert, Dr. Hannah Kirk. I'm not very confident here, right off the bat. We're going to use Dr. Hannah Kirk now for our next expert. Who is Dr. Hannah Kirk? Dr. Hannah Kirk, a senior lecturer in developmental psychology at another university, added, no study has shown that paracetamol causes autism. Another psychology person. Some studies have reported an association between paracetamol use and autism, while others have not. Importantly, association does not mean causation. I tell you what, you know, when people whip off these lines, you know, correlation does not prove causation. This is just like, they think this, you can tell when somebody uses that line, they think it makes them sound smart. You know, I mean, it does. You could tell they think this sounds really, really, really sciencey. Let's move on to our next expert. We get a man this time, Professor Stephen Griffin. Okay, maybe this guy is an expert in medical research as far as, you know, drug use and whatnot. An infectious disease expert at the University of Leeds. I don't think anybody is claiming that autism is caused by an infectious disease. So what the hell does this guy... What does they might as well start saying so-and-so, you know, a professor of astronomy says, because I don't know what infectious disease would have to do with this topic. Meanwhile, this person said the argument that paracetamol causes autism lays the blame. Here's more emotional appeal, by the way, lays the blame firmly at the parent's door. Just unbelievably cruel. He added, it's a complex, polygenic, largely unpredictable syndrome. Fact. The guy, it's like a Twitter post. It's like this guy's posting on Reddit or some shit. So this guy's an expert in basically a field that has nothing to do with the topic at hand. Like I say, this would be no different if they were quoting a professor of astrology or astronomy. Because he's not an expert in this field. It has nothing to do with infectious diseases. And then you top it off with the guy's statement that he knows is going to be published internationally in the Daily Mail, literally reads like a Reddit post. I mean, ending it with fact, just fact. And we're supposed to take this seriously. Let's keep moving. Let's go to our next story here, because we have more science and expertise here. And it's always humorous when you get into these sorts of topic. Next headline, scientists are baffled by a monstrous black hole growing at 2.4 times the theoretical limit. Black holes are among the most feared objects in the universe. I don't know who is feared by. In the universe. You see, the space aliens could be sitting around in terror. The black holes. Have you seen some of the episodes of Star Trek? Black holes are always a scary thing on Star Trek, aren't they? These huge concentrations of tightly packed matter with a gravitational pull too strong for light to escape can gobble up entire planets. This, look. Anytime you get into this NASA shit, it is just this. I look at NASA the same way I look at Ukraine. It's a giant money laundering operation. People are lining their pockets, and what you get in exchange for all these billions of dollars that go into NASA is some really shitty science fiction and some computer generated images. That's what you get. That I don't think we're getting a lot of bang for the buck. According to scientists, one black hole in particular seems to have an unstoppable appetite. Located 12.8 billion light years away, the black hole called RACS J0320-35, I'll call it Jax from here on, weighs about a billion times the mass of our sun. So this thing is 12.8 billion light years away. You know about light years because, again, you've watched plenty of science fiction movies about space. You've watched plenty of Star Trek. So you know that's a long way off. And somehow, our scientist knows how much it weighs. They got a big scale. Data from NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory reveals it is growing at 2.4 times the theoretical limit. One of the fastest rates ever recorded. I'm going to skip some of the rest of this science fiction story here, because then they give us some information. In orbit around Earth for more than 25 years now, Chandra, this is the telescope thing they're using, is specially designed to detect X-ray emission from very hot regions of the universe. Okay, so this thing has been in orbit for 25 years. They've been using this for 25 years, and they've just now discovered this massive, hungry black hole, gobbling up suns and planets and who knows what else, growing at an exponential rate. Now, using data from the NASA telescope, researchers have been able to pinpoint the black hole's incredible growth rate. It took them 25 years, I guess, to get around. And what's funny about this is this thing has been in orbit for 25 years. And all we get for a picture of it, I shit you not, is an artist's rendition of this thing. I mean, you would think they built it. Why not a picture of it before they launched it? What we get is an artist's rendition of this is totally what this telescope that's watching this black hole. Now, maybe look. I'm not trying to get way out there. I'm really not. But the truth of the matter is, what you know from this story is what they're telling you. Did they even spend the money on this thing? How would you know? All you're getting is an artist's rendition of the telescope itself and CGI pictures of this black hole. That's it. So in other words, just theorizing here. And again, I don't know. I'm not claiming to know. I'm not making a declaration that this is how it is. But I will say this. The only way you know this satellite telescope thing exists at all, or the black holes for that matter, is simply because they're telling you. In other words, if you flip it over and say they just spent the money on other shit and they never made a satellite telescope and all of this is made up, it would be no different. And they're just telling it to you. There's no way. You don't know what's true at all, except that they're telling you. And I'll just say that their track record on telling people the truth, it's not very good, to put it lightly. It's not very good. Now, I keyed in here, did a quick search, see how much this X-ray observatory satellite thing costs. And because the search engines are broke, you know, they'll throw these search assist things up here, which I guess is AI nonsense. And I'll just go with that because I don't have time to keep digging through a bunch of stories that have nothing to do with the question I'm asking. And according to their search assist, it costs approximately $1.65 billion for this thing. But hey, now we know we can get some cool artist rendition of these black holes. Now, as you probably guessed, I'm sick of talking about the Charlie Kirk thing, but I do have a story here, and it kind of stays in line with our experts because we have the expert FBI on this case. And this one thing that I guess is kind of encouraging is that their narratives don't sell nearly as easy as they used to. You know, I mean, they put these narratives out there and people start picking them apart fairly quickly. And because of this, the experts at the FBI are having to adjust their narrative stories because, to come to find out, a lot of the stuff they put out there is so remarkably stupid and unbelievable that, they have to modify. They have to change it on the fly. FBI says three Charlie Kirk conspiracy theories involving text messages, hand signals, and a second shooter could be true. That's... The FBI is investigating a string of curious theories and questions about Charlie Kirk's shooting, which exploded on social media in the aftermath of his assassination. So what they're essentially admitting here is randos on the internet are doing a better job of coming up with questions and poking holes in this than they are. You know, if they're earnestly investigating instead of crafting a narrative, and trust me, my opinion is they're crafting a narrative. If the original narrative, everybody bought it hook, line, and sinker, this would already go away. You know, but the fact that they're not, and randos on the internet are poking holes and pointing out obvious flaws in what they're telling us, that means now they're having to scramble around and adjust and attempt to craft the narrative around and explain these things away. That's what they're doing. They're not trying to get to the truth. They're explaining this away. They have to. This is, it's like you've got this gaping hole and nobody's going to believe this because it's stupid. So they have to run around now and come up with a new narrative to explain it so that the original narrative can kind of make some sort of sense. As always, I kind of skip through here. What are some of the stuff they're looking at? Agents are also examining peculiar hand gestures made by spectators in the crowd, along with stilted text messages Robinson exchanged with his lover that raised alarms over their odd and awkward warning. The text message thing is laughably bad. I don't know why they put that out. I mean, they put this out. These are the text messages here. And I mean, that was so laughably unbelievable. Like anybody, you know, this is a young person that's being that has allegedly done this, that they're presenting as, say, this is the lone gunman. It's always a lone gunman. And somebody thought it was a good idea, probably a boomer, honestly, to come out with these text messages and say, we have this proof. This guy text messaged everything he did. Only the problem is the text messages read, by and large, like some boomer at the FBI wrote them. I mean, they were so unbelievably bad. Essentially, right away, people were just laughing about how stupid it was. The hand gestures in the audience were not just in the audience. The security detail around him were doing these were not. There's no argument. These were signals. Now, it could have been. See, again, these people, I don't know. You know, hand gestures that could mean. These are obviously signals. What they should have done is said, well, yeah, there were signals among Charlie Kirk's security detail, and this was ways of communicating to look over here, watch over here, possible problem over here. They should have just said, well, yeah, there are security people in the audience and around the person's, you know, the person that's being protected, and part of the way, because they're apart from one another, that, you know, they communicate via hand signals. This is normal security detail. They could have said that and explained it away. Instead, they just talk about random hand gestures. You see, they just double down on this stuff. Patel, that's FBI director, said officials are meticulously investigating theories and questions. Wait a minute. From the internet. Because it's not them who came up with the theories and questions. These were all brought up by randos on the internet. you know, not the FBI. Remember, the FBI came and said, we got him. Here's this guy. And here's the narrative. And then randos on the internet were like, well, wait a minute. What about this? What about that? So now they're investigating those. If randos on the internet weren't bringing up these questions and theories, would they be investigating them? I don't think so. Do you? And I mean, the story, there's so many holes in it. I'm not getting into all that here because I'm sick of this topic. But this here, just this thing where they're investigating further. These conspiracy theorists might actually have a point. No, people are just pointing out things that are so laughably obvious that anybody can look at it and go, I mean, myself, one of the early things, like right after it happened, they were showing the video of the guy running across the roof and jumping off. And I'm like, where the hell's the rifle? Well, he broke it down and put it in the backpack. And then they give this picture of the rifle. And anybody that knows anything about these rifles looks at it and goes, well, you can't just break that down. This is some kind of foldable rifle like you see in the movies that hitmen use, and they can break it down in about 15 seconds, stuff it in a backpack, and go. Why the hell did they pick this rifle? This is obviously not going to be able to do that, and there's no sign of this big, gawky rifle when he jumps off the building. Their own narrative they created was so stupid that now they're having to run around trying to plug the gaps. Don't worry, though. We have more experts. In an exclusive interview with the Daily Mail, veteran law enforcement officer and security consultant Stan Kefart said that, in his expert view, the movements, talking about the obvious hand signals that were being made, I mean, these were just obviously, they were hand signals. Again, I don't know why they didn't just say, well, this was people in his security detail communicating with one another. And, you know, that could have been that. But according to this expert, in his expert view, the movements were deliberate but not unusual, whatever the hell that means. The FBI director did debunk one conspiracy theory, though. Now, again, we don't know. These are why they're theories. And I always think one of the mistakes I think people make when they get into talking about these things is they'll get so caught up in trying to fill in the blanks that they'll begin presenting things as this is what it is and this is what happened. When you don't know, we have an incomplete picture. They're trying to give us a picture and tell us this is what we're looking at. When you're looking at problems with it, you're saying, well, these pictures of this puzzle, these pieces of this puzzle don't fit. And so that's not what you're telling me I'm looking at. You know, I mean, that's what you're doing. So you don't know. But one of the things you can go by is, what is the person, the people who are telling you this, what is their track record of telling you the truth? And I'll leave that floating out there for you to decide. The FBI director did debunk one conspiracy, though. He said I'll leave it up to you to decide the fact that this is the one theory the FBI is out and out debunking. I'll leave it up to you to decide whether or not that means it may have more credence, you know, more credibility, rather, than others. He said the idea that Kirk's killer may have escaped on a private plane is untrue. Now, I'm assuming all of you know the private plane thing. You had this private jet registered to this Jewish group in the area, like an NGO type, you know, not a small, poor group. They have a private jet. And it took off shortly after this. And interestingly enough, well, let's get into it here. We'll do from the story. Social media users parroted the theory. You love how they pick these terms. They parroted it. See, they're just a bunch of pure, just a bunch of parrot. Fuck, you don't have any sense. You're just repeating things other people say because you're stupid. You're a parrot. They use these, they insert these derogatory terms to try to get it in your, you know, to discredit people. Social media users parroted the theory after one person noted that a plane flying out of the area 30 minutes after Kirk was killed suspiciously, and they put suspiciously in quotes, as if this is normal, and we'll get to that here in a minute, dropped off the radar. Addressing this, Patel wrote, regarding specific details, such as questions about the plane that allegedly turned off its transponder after departing from an airport near the assassination site, we can share updates when answers are confirmed. That means you're not getting an answer. After interviews with the pilot and consultations with the FAA, we determined the transponder was not turned off. Incomplete flight data in rural areas caused the apparent gap. Let me tell you something. That, my friends, is bullshit. And I'm going to get into why that is. And I'm pulling that out of my ass. This is bullshit. What they're talking about, because it drove me nuts when this information came out and people kept saying, the plane turned their radar off. No, they didn't. That has nothing to do with radar. These planes have basically every aircraft is required to have what they call ADS-B. In and out. ADS-B out. That means it has to be transmitting. ADS-B in a lot of cases is still, depending on the airplane, optional. But they have to have what they call ADS-B out. And what this is you have your transponder, what they're calling your transponder. Your old style transponders that planes had before basically just transmitted the information. So air traffic control could look and say, okay, that is aircraft November 12345. The ADS-B, which has been required now for several years, uses a combination. I know a little bit about it. This is one of those rare times somebody has stepped into an area that I actually know a little bit about. ADS-B uses a combination of GPS and signals from various radio towers. They use them together, and the point of ADS-B is that air traffic controllers around busy airports can safely route planes into closer proximity. See, before they would use GPS and such, and there's a margin of error there. So they had to keep a wider distance between all of this congested air traffic around busy airports. With ADS-B, because it's so much more accurate, they can let them get a little closer because there's less margin of error. Does that make sense? It's just more, think of it as more accurate. But it uses a combination of GPS signals and radio towers, like different various towers transmitting off of this. This is not, Kash Patel is wanting you to believe that this is akin to your cell phone. This is akin to your cell phone signal, and they just lost cell signal. It just blipped out. Now, there are very limited instances where you do not have to have ADS-B. These are very limited. If you're in a little bitty airplane, you know, one of these little like two-seater or whatever, you know, small, little bitty airplane, like little propeller planes, and you fly in certain unrestricted airspace, then technically you don't have to have ADS-B. But I mean, it's required, because where you can fly is so limited, you know, and you can only be at this low altitude and in this certain class of airspace, then you can technically, and you can't get out of that airspace. You can only be in these, you know, if you had a little airplane on a ranch in Wyoming and you only flew it up to fly around and look at your cows, yeah, they're not going to hassle you over ADS-B. You know, you're a couple thousand feet over the ground at most, and you're looking at your cows and then you land back on your ranch. Yeah, they'll let that fly. Assuming you're not within a certain class of airspace, doesn't fall over the area you're in. I don't want to get off into the nature, the nuts and bolts of it too much, but there's an important point and I'm getting to it right now. A private jet in no world is not required to have constant ADS-B. A private jet is not going to be flying around like you're in your Cessna 172. A private jet is taking off. They're 100% on IFR plan, which is instrument flight rules. In other words, they're going on a set. They're not just flying around where they want. They're going on a set route filed with the FAA and approved, and you are monitored all the way. In other words, where are these flight aware? You can go on these sites and they track every airplane that's, because they're transmitting this ADS-B. And this is where this story came from, where this quote unquote theory came from, because this plane just suddenly disappeared right after takeoff. And I've read accounts, and again, this is a little more into the theorizing, but I had read an account on the internet. You can read anything on the internet. It may be true, maybe not. But a guy at the airport said that thing flew in dark. I mean, it just basically flew in like it was a drug plane dropping off cocaine or some shit when it arrived. Then when it takes off, shortly after takeoff, the ADS-B turns off? No. Let me tell you something. You're on an IFR flight plan in a jet, and your ADS-B goes out for any reason whatsoever, it's not just like, oh, well, your cell signal dropped. It happens. You're not dropping a call with your grandparents while you're driving, and you got in a dead area. You are going to be contacted immediately by air traffic control, and if you turned it off, you're in deep doo-doo with the FAA. That just doesn't happen. And if you don't answer the radio and you're flying around with your ADS-B turned off, you're probably, depending on where you're at and the conditions, you could actually get a fly up with military jets seeing what the hell you're doing. This is a big deal. And Kash Patel coming out and acting like, oh, well, this is just, it's just like your cell phone dropping out. I mean, sometimes the signal drops. No, it doesn't. This, you go and you get on a commercial airliner, they're using the same ADS-B, essentially, same system as this private jet. Now, that's what's keeping you from crashing into other airplanes. So he's telling you, when you go and get on whatever your airline jet, don't worry, you're not going to get run into, you're not going to fly into another airplane and crash because you have this system. But sometimes it just drops, like a cell phone signal. They didn't even address that it's going around on the internet. And again, this is just something you can read anything on the internet. I haven't seen any. There's no way to prove it. But there's a thing going on the internet that supposedly there were like 12 Israeli cell phones pinging in the area at the time, too. Now, that again, I don't give a lot of weight to that because that's just somebody says it on Twitter or some shit. I mean, you know, people can say anything. And a lot of times people muddy the water with nonsense. But this airplane thing and acting like ADS-B is just your cell phone signal, I can tell you that's bullshit. That is absolute nonsense. I find it funny that what they're essentially admitting here, without admitting it, of course, is that they presented a narrative. People immediately started seeing the obvious holes in the narrative because it's not the 1960s anymore. And so now they're basically doing damage control and changing the narrative on the run. They're writing the script on the fly. You know, they presented the original story. People started pointing out the obvious flaws in the story. So on the fly, they're changing the script. They're calling it continuing to investigate. But what it is there's things that are so blatantly obvious. You have people looking at this and going, well, what are all these hand gestures, these obvious hand signals being made? What was that about? You have people pointing out obvious facts. One of the big blunders, I mean, I'm getting off into this too much, but my point really is the narrative they presented originally was so stupid. Like I said, the text message thing, that is so stupid that immediately no one believed it. So now they're having to rewrite it on the fly. They're rewriting on the fly because the script they originally presented was dumb. One of the biggest errors they made was this claiming a .30-06 was the weapon. That was one of the biggest screw-ups they made because that's the big hiccup. They could have claimed a lower-powered, fold-up, hideable rifle. For some reason, they picked a bolt-action .30-06 hunting rifle. Look, as many have pointed out, people who know more about guns, I have a common knowledge of guns. But people who are way more experts than me have pointed out what I knew immediately. If you get hit in the neck with a .30-06, it's probably going, you're going to be pretty close to decapitated. You know, I mean, it is. I was reading yesterday, they're claiming that it was a miracle because, again, the .30-06, using that as a weapon was so stupid. I guess somebody thought the caliber was scary or something. that was such a stupid choice. Now that's one of the real big problems they're having in adjusting their narrative. So now they're having the doctor come out and claim that it was a miracle, because people are like, this is stupid. A 30-06 would have come out. It would have pretty close to decapitated the guy, and it would have come out. There would have been a blood splatter all over the back, that white tent right behind him, and anybody standing directly behind him would have been shot too. You know, this isn't a 22. And so I read that now they're trying to explain that the doctor said it was a miracle. It was just a miracle. You see, the 30-06 went in and then just kind of hit his spine and just decided, I'll go up or around and I'm just not coming out today. That was just such a stupid choice. They obviously had like some college intern or something. What gun should we pick? 30-06 sounds scary. It's big. Let's go with something big. That'll be extra scary. And it needs to be a hunting rifle, because if we go with like, you know, a believable, you know, fold-up hiding rifle, then that's going to bring up questions of where could somebody attain that and where did he attain. We'll have to do more work, and we don't want to do that. We're lazy. So let's just say he got Grandpa's 30-06 hunting rifle. The wooden stick. That was a bad one. Because they're going to have, you know, they're going to find a way to explain the other. They'll craft a narrative to explain the other stuff, like Kash Patel here trying to claim the ADS-B going off on the jet. It was just like your cell phone dropping. And most people don't know, and the media is not going to question it. So they'll be able to float some of this by. They'll be able to explain some of this other stuff away at some point. But the 30-06 thing, they're going to have a hard time having the doctor come out and say, well, the reason it didn't exit and splatter blood everywhere and possibly hit someone, anyone who was behind him, is because there was a miracle from God. That's really what they're going with at this point. That was the last thing I read that last night, that they're claiming is basically it was a miracle from God is the reason why. I don't know, you know. So they're going to have a hard time with that narrative. They're going to have a hard time rewriting that and coming up with something believable when it, you know, quite possible what everybody told is the bullet hitting is the exit wound. You know, again, these are theories. They're theories because we don't know. They're lying to us and they're giving us a picture. Many people are already looking and go, well, you say this is the picture, but these puzzle pieces you're saying are part of it, they don't even fit together. That doesn't make any sense. And when you remove those, nothing is like what you're telling us here. And so now they're trying to rewrite. They're trying to rewrite the narrative to make it something more believable. They're really, I just find it funny. I'm not laughing about somebody being killed. That part's not funny. And I'm not even trying to imply that and, you know, brush it off. But I just find it funny that they're literally having to rewrite the narrative on the fly. Like you started a movie production and the script is, and you've started production, you're the director of this movie, and you start the movie and right off, like second day of shooting, you realize this script is a disaster. The script that I've been given to work with is so bad, and apparently you didn't bother to read it beforehand. It's so bad that now you're going to have to bring people in and rewrite the script as you shoot the movie. And that's where the experts are today. We've got to wrap up on that note. It went a little long, but I hope you enjoyed today's discussion. I'm going to be back with the Parish of the Patriots program tomorrow. In fact, it's already done. Did it over the weekend. It's up. It's loaded. It is ready to drop. Just waiting for the clock tick. Hope you'll check it out. Dr. Johnson will be here Wednesday with his Orthodox Nationalist. Dr. Johnson always wraps the week up for us on Thursdays because we have a short week here at Radio Albion because, well, yeah, we're short-handed, as it were. Hopefully in the near future, it'll get better. You know, we're clicking down where the clock is ticking down to when Sven will be, finally, actually, literally free. We're looking forward to that. And, you know, but I appreciate all of you bearing with us in the meantime. Hope you got something out of today's show. As always, keep the faith and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.